Mr. Schultz.
May it please the court, counsel for the government, my name is Todd Schultz. I work as an assistant federal public defender. I'm representing the defendant appellant in this case. The district court erred in its denial of the defendant's motion to suppress evidence as it pertains to the defendant's September 4th, 2007 confession. At the outset of my argument, I would like to concede that the defendant has forfeited the argument for suppression under 18 U.S.C. 3501C and Rule 5A, as that was not properly brought in the district court, and the government and the district court judge were not alerted to that ground for suppression. However, the Fourth Amendment Riverside violation was specifically brought before the district court. Both the district court and government were alerted to this ground for suppression and had sufficient notice, and thus it is appropriate that we're here this morning, and that has not been forfeited. In the actual motion to suppress evidence that's on file in the district court in this case,
I'm a little puzzled. Does this mean that you're now withdrawing the Rule 5 and McNabb-Mallory argument?
That is correct, Your Honor. I am proceeding this morning on the other alternative argument that was contained in the brief, which is the Fourth Amendment argument under Riverside. That argument was properly raised in the district court, and that is the focus of my argument here today before the court.
So that argument doesn't have anything to do with the length of time he was in custody?
Sir?
That argument then, are you agreeing that any argument based on the amount of time he was in custody before he appeared before a magistrate is out of the case?
No, Your Honor. I'm simply suggesting to you that the statutory argument is not being pursued here at the appellate level, that the time frame that he is in custody is a central focus to the Fourth Amendment analysis in this case.
What's the difference between that and a McNabb-Mallory argument?
Well, the difference, I believe, Your Honor, under Riverside is under a 3501C analysis, there are certain factors that the court would consider that aren't to be considered or relevant to a Fourth Amendment analysis. For example, 3501C and Rule 5A only come into play if a person has been arrested on a federal charge, whereas the inquiry under the Fourth Amendment Riverside case is simply how long has the defendant been in custody. If the defendant
Riverside cited to the district court?
It was not specifically cited to the district court, Your Honor.
I don't know how it could be cited other than specifically.
Well, I would say in the motion to suppress evidence, Your Honor, a ground for suppression is the Fourth Amendment, that it is alleged that the detention was unreasonable, that at the actual motion to suppress hearing, it was argued specifically to the court that his confession ought to be suppressed because it was given after he had been in custody for 48 hours and before he was presented to a
I thought the motion to suppress dealt only with the first confession, statements made essentially immediately after being taken into custody.
Your Honor, I think that the motion to suppress evidence deals in general terms with the statements that are made both at the roadside and then 2 days later at the DEA office.
If you were to point to the place in the motion that contests the admissibility of the statements made to the DEA, where in the motion is that subject raised?
Your Honor, I don't believe that it specifically addresses the statements made at the DEA office. However, it does allege that the statements made by the defendant.
So if the statements made to the DEA are never mentioned and Riverside is never mentioned, how is a Riverside argument being preserved?
Your Honor, I believe that the statements to the DEA at the DEA office would be covered with the motion to suppress evidence. I would indicate that in the court's order denying in part and granting in part the motion to suppress evidence, that the district court acknowledges specifically that defendant had argued that the September 4th, 2007 statement should be suppressed. And I submit to this court that in arguing before the district court and the government are on notice that the defendant is seeking suppression pursuant to the Fourth Amendment, that it was stated in that context that
Look, The argument as the district court perceived it was that the traffic stop was an unreasonable detention, and therefore everything that followed had to be suppressed. That would cover the DEA statement, but without any facts peculiar to the DEA statement. It's a fruit of the poisonous tree argument, but you don't seem to be making that. The Riverside argument is a completely distinct argument, which would amount to saying the first statements would be admissible, but anything after 48 hours not. And for that purpose, you would think there'd be separate discussion of the DEA and of Riverside. That's why I'm asking whether an argument like this, or indeed remotely like this, was made to the district judge.
Your Honor, I believe it was. I believe when the district judge heard the argument that the confession should be suppressed because it was made after 48 hours in custody and before he was brought before a judge, that I believe the district court hearing that would recognize that in the context of the Fourth Amendment argument.
This district judge certainly didn't. This district judge doesn't say boo about an argument of the Riverside sort. So whatever you think a reasonable district judge should have seen in it, this district judge didn't see it in this argument.
There's no doubt about that, Your Honor, but I believe the issue as to whether or not we're appropriately before the court this morning, was it sufficiently raised? And it is my argument to the court that the Fourth Amendment was raised as grounds for suppression. And
no, you're missing the point. An illegal search is a Fourth Amendment argument. But to say the search was illegal doesn't mean all conceivable Fourth Amendment arguments are being raised. If it were, any defendant could file a motion to suppress saying, this evidence should be suppressed because the Fourth Amendment, paren, you think up what arguments I should be making, close paren, and you would then say, and that preserves all possible Fourth Amendment arguments.
Your Honor, all I'm suggesting is that everyone knew that the Fourth Amendment was an issue and that I believe in saying the defendant had been in 48 hours and not been before a judge, that is clearly a reference to the Gerstein case and the Riverside case, and that the record was developed on these points through the witness testimony. It's undisputed that the defendant was arrested without a warrant, that he was in custody for more than 48 hours at the time that this statement was obtained, that he had not been before a judge, that there had not been a probable cause determination. Those facts are undisputed, and the government had an opportunity through its own witnesses at the suppression hearing to inquire to any reason for delay. And as the Riverside case states, once it is established, and it has been established in this case, that he did not receive a probable cause determination within 48 hours, the burden shifts to the government to establish either an extraordinary circumstance or a bona fide emergency. And there's been no explanation in this case for the delay. If there are no additional questions, I'll reserve.
It was offered because the delay wasn't a point raised in the trial court, one would think.
Well,
if you file a motion relying on Riverside, then presumably the government's going to explain the delay. If you don't, well, then it's easy to see why they don't.
Well, in fairness, there was some mention at the end, wasn't there?
Right. I mean, there was.
But just like, oh, by the way, he was also custody for a while.
Well, Your Honor, I think all the defendant is required to establish is that he's been in 48 hours without a probable cause determination, and those points briefly made were made.
Well, doesn't there have to be some collusion? I mean, 48 hours doesn't tell you anything.
Well, Your Honor, I believe the analysis under 3501C is different than the Fourth Amendment. I don't believe it's required for the defendant to establish any type of collusion under a Fourth Amendment argument, nor is it necessary to show that the time spent in state custody should be counted against the federal authorities. I would argue to the court here this morning, however, though, it is clear that there was an improper working relationship. You have an individual who's arrested by a local police department. He is not given Miranda. He's never interviewed. He essentially sits in the Fairview Heights Police Department. It's used as a local detention site by the DEA in this case. The Fairview Heights Police Department knew they had to cut him loose after 48 hours. Instead of doing that, they coordinated with the DEA to obtain a last-minute confession in violation of his Fourth Amendment rights. This court ought to reverse the district court's decision and send a message that the probable cause determination is important and that will be respected. The purpose of the exclusionary rule would be served by such a ruling of this court, And I respectfully ask that the court would reverse the district court's ruling on the motion to suppress evidence. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Schultz. Mr. Simonson.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. The government will focus its comments on the Fourth Amendment and Riverside claims now being pursued exclusively by the appellant. The government does move and does believe that that argument was forfeited and that no good cause was shown. This argument was not made in the suppression motions, therefore not putting the government or the district court on notice. The government was not in a position to present evidence or to address the issue. Those grounds, although mentioned very late in a closing argument at the end of a very lengthy suppression hearing, were neither clear nor specific, nor were the specific grounds that were required laid out. The district court in its order even went to the point of stating that it wasn't quite sure what statements were being challenged, and it then went on from its analysis from there. The government and the district court were not put on notice. As your honors have noted, there was at no time any cites to Riverside or to Gerstein, once again not raising the argument or putting the government or the district court on notice. There's not even a specific challenge to a district court ruling because the district court did not rule on this because it was never properly raised before the district court. The government therefore stands on its argument that the argument put forward by the appellant was forfeited, that there has not been good cause shown, and that therefore should be dismissed. And if there are questions, I will take them. If not, the government stands on its argument in its brief. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement, and the court will be in recess until tomorrow.